Well, praise the Lord. Thank you for singing. Thank you for being here tonight. And I trust that you come just expecting the Lord to bless. And please don't think that when you have the idea that I just don't feel much like coming tonight. That's the same thing we feel about a lot of stuff. Many of the times you don't feel like going to work, but you got to do that. But then other times there's some event that you, when you get straight up to it, you'd rather just stay home. But boy, oh boy, after you get there, you're so glad that you did it. And I trust that church is that way. I hope you have a desire to come. But then I know sometimes the devil throws a lot of stuff at us right at the last minute. Well, this is going on and that's going on. And thank you for just shutting those things out and telling the Lord you'd be here in the house of God. Thank you for being here. Well, as I mentioned, we'll start next week in this auditorium on one of the sessions of our Equip series, and then there'll be a couple other ones going on. I trust that you'll just find the one that you think will be a good one or swap back and forth, and we'll have a good time together. So good to see Brother Matthew Hayes back there. He was here Sunday night, but I didn't realize it till after the service. So good to see him. Thank the Lord that he's here safe, and we're grateful for that. Well, would you look in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to look at the Lord's Prayer tonight. I suppose not a more popular passage of Scripture that we could look at, and it's called the Lord's Prayer. That's what most people call it. It might better be called the Disciples' Prayer because the Lord is teaching the disciples to pray, but nonetheless, that's what we typically know it by, the Lord's Prayer. And I want us to look at just a few practical points of why we need the Lord's Prayer. Now, the rest of the service will go like this. We'll have our Bible study here, and then just a few moments, then we'll have our invitation, and then after that, Brother Bobby Brown, one of the deacons, will come up and give our report of our budget. We'll have that business meeting, and you're all welcome to stay, of course. If you need to slip out, you can, but everyone's welcome to stay for that, and we'll take a vote on that, receiving that into the minutes and going forward with our budget for the next year. But that's how the rest of the service will go for this evening. But let's look at Matthew chapter 6, verse number 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. I wonder sometimes, as if you take a little time out from there, I wonder sometimes how much gets done in the average church that didn't please the Lord, but we thought something big of it. And then I think about our church. Really, you could come on this property and not realize that the bus workers bring people in, and the bus workers deal with them during Sunday school, the teachers, the workers, the helpers, then in junior church and primary church and beginner's church, and then they ride the bus back home, and after you're done with your chicken dinner at Kentucky Fried Chicken, they're just pulling in, and then finally getting to go home and get something to eat. I'm just thinking sometimes we value the things that God doesn't, and sometimes the things that we tap into and we serve in such a way God values and other people don't. But it says at the end of verse number 5, they have their reward. If they do the things to be seen of men, I would confess that there's a lot of pastors, preachers that preach sermons. You say, wow, what a great presentation that was. And then I think they might find themselves at the end of verse number 5. Whatever people patted them on the back, I hope they liked it. Because that's really all they're getting. And I'm not saying I haven't been there too. I've done things in the flesh. I've done things and, you know, you like the accolades. But sometimes we realize that we have the reward. The only reward that came was when somebody saw you and they thought really good of you. But thou, when thou prayest, verse 6, back into it, enter into thy closet. Now, of course, that's not a literal closet, although it can be. Sometimes you find a place, but you may not have a spot, but a place where it's private, where folks don't know. And when thou shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Now, we like to do it the other way. We like to get things privately and then show everybody. God finds things secretly, what you do, and you labor with Him, and then He displays it openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard of their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth that what things ye have need of before ye ask. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Why we need the Lord's Prayer. Just get some practical applications here as we look into it for the next few moments. Father, bless us now is our prayer. And I pray that you would do something in the hearts of people tonight. Lord, I'm thankful they came. But I realize, dear Lord, that next Wednesday and the Wednesday after and services from here on will always be in a battle, spiritual battle, to stay out of your house. We realize that. But dear Lord, these folks, they're here and others are joining us online. And so, Lord, they're setting apart this time to just hear from you. And I pray that you would make it profitable in their life. In Jesus' name, amen. Most of us are familiar with the Lord's Prayer. The teaching is very obvious. I won't necessarily show you anything that you haven't known before necessarily, but I do want to just bring some practical applications and just some things that maybe will be a help to you. Number one, why do we even need the Lord's Prayer? Well, I would suggest to you from verse number 5 and 6, we need it because we like a show. Meaning we like to show off sometimes. One of my professors in Bible college, he said that his dad was also a preacher of some sort, to some degree, I should say, but certainly a good, strong Christian. And so he was praying for the meal one time for their Thanksgiving meal or some gathering of the family, and he was just going on and on. You know the one. You're hungry, and you want to get into the meal, and this guy's just praying for the, and it's good to pray for the missionaries, but not while people are hungry. It's good to pray for all these needs, but save that for some other time. And this guy was not doing that, this pastor friend of mine. Now, his dad was just going on and on and on. And finally, when he got done, his wife, as wives can, she nudged him and said, "Jack, what's wrong? Did you forget your devotions this morning? It's not our fault that you forgot them." But sometimes we like a show. One preacher put it like this: long prayers in public sometimes indicate short prayers in private, because sometimes we want to flower it up and say things, and we'd be better off to pray those long prayers in private when it's you and God. And then, you know, not that you have to keep them that short, but we certainly ought not to do anything to be a show. So why do we need the Lord's Prayer? For one reason, to remind us that we're pretty egotistical sometimes. We're prone to want to be looked up at. We're prone to like to have attention. So when thou prayest, don't be as the hypocrites are. Don't be like that. So why do we need it? Because we have a tendency to like a show. You ever notice this? The things in the Bible, they're in there because God wanted you and I to get the message. Do you notice that God doesn't say, make sure you get a candy bar every few days? He doesn't say, make sure you get a candy bar every day. He doesn't say, make sure you get a candy bar after every meal. He doesn't say, make sure you get dessert, make sure you do this. Why did he not say that? He knew you were going to do that without his nudging. He also doesn't say for us to breathe in, breathe out. He's got that one taken care of. Why do you think he put verses in the scriptures to say, forgive one another as I've forgiven you? Because we have a hard time with that. Why do you think he put verses in there that says, be ye kind one to another? Because we have hard time with that. Why do you think he put in the verses in there that we're supposed to bear one another's burdens? Because we get selfish. So God puts the commands in the Word of God for those areas that we have trouble with. Those ones that are natural, he doesn't spend much time on those. And so that's why he puts this passage in here. He tells us not to do that because he knew we have a tendency to do it. We like a show. Number two, we like to sound impressive. Why do we need the Lord's Prayer? Because we tend to have a tendency to like to sound impressive. Verse number 7, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions. Don't use these meaningless words that are just out there. They mean nothing to you. They mean nothing to the Lord. They only mean something to the people that are there to say, wow, look at that fella go. My mamma used to say about people that would be thinking very highly of themselves, she would say, if you could buy him for what he's worth, sell him for what he thinks he's worth, boy, you'd make a lot of money. And sometimes we think a lot of ourselves. Vain repetition just literally means meaningless words. Now, some people have taken this to talk about your kids when you teach them how to pray. Now I lay me down to sleep, pray the Lord my soul to keep or take, all those things. I don't think that there's anything wrong with teaching them. I think certainly a person ought to get past those little canned prayers. But I think it's very good. Gets them in the habit of praying for the food and all of these things. I don't believe that's what that's talking about. I believe that this is just talking about those meaningless words that are just there to try to impress the masses. But I'm saying the reason that we needed this passage of Scripture is because we like to show off. You say, oh, I don't like to show off, Brother John. Well, maybe the rest of us do sometimes because we get, and it's a funny thing, church work should be completely the opposite of that, but even in church work, we want to have our position. We often want to be the head of this or be the head of that or be the pastor, be whatever, but I'm saying that I believe God gives us these passages because we like to not only show, put on a show, we also like to sound impressive. I want you to look on down as we make our way through here. Look at verse number 9. After this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven. Most of the time we focus on the last part of that verse, hallowed be thy name. And that's very true. We should, holy and hallowed and set apart and sanctified, hallowed be thy name. But the first part of the verse is just as true, our Father. And one reason I believe that the Lord taught the disciples to pray in this way was because sometimes we forget that God desires to bless His children. Sometimes we act like we got to talk God into being nice to us. God wants to bless His children. He loves us. That's why He offers us peace. That's why He offers us comfort. That's why He offers us His guiding hand. As I was reading some scriptures or in staff devotions, one about the Lord guiding us with His eye. That's why God wants to provide for us. That's why He wants to console us, because sometimes we forget that God desires to bless us just because He's our Father, which art in heaven. Sometimes we focus on the hallowed part, and well, we should. But we also remember that God desires to bless us. You understand this? God wants to bless you more than you want to be blessed. Isn't that a strange thing? If you're a parent in here, didn't you want to be better to your kids? They may have wanted some things that weren't good for them, and they thought, this is the way Dad can be good to me, buy me a car when I'm 16. But you understood that if you bought a car when he's 16, then he'd have had it wrecked by the time he was 16 years and 1 week old. And so maybe that wasn't what was best for him. But overall, you wanted more for that boy or that girl than they wanted. You want to bless them, be a blessing to them. You don't want your blessings to turn around and be a curse to them. So you want to be a true blessing. Well, you think our Heavenly Father is any less of a father than us? I would certainly say no. And so sometimes we forget why do we need the Lord's Prayer? We forget that God desires to bless us just because He's our Father. But I want you to move on, if you would. In verse number 9, we see there, after this father or pray, manner pray. But then in verse number 10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Why does God put that in there? Isn't He going to do His will? Ultimately, isn't He going to do what He wants to do, thy will be done? Yes, God can do whatever He wants to do. The only restrictions He has is the restrictions that He has put on Himself. But the reason that I believe the teaching came down to us is, guess whose will I want? If I'm not careful, I don't want God's will unless it intersects with mine. One of the reasons He gave us this teaching is because we want our will done. That's why Jesus taught us to pray this. Do you think Jesus just haphazardly puts words out there? Not on our lives. Every word was intentional. And the reason that He teaches us to pray, not my will, but thine be done. It sounds so simple, but it is true. And the reason He taught us that is because you and I have a tendency to want our will. How many of you think you're always right? You're just afraid to raise your hands. We all have a tendency to figure the way that we're looking at it is the right way. Even when we're prayed up and geared up and good to ready to go up, I'm not saying we're wicked in rebellion. I'm just saying we're looking at a problem. Somebody's brought it to you, and we assume the way we're looking at it's the right way. You say, how could you be so braggadocious? I'm not being braggadocious. What I mean is, if I thought there was a better way, wouldn't I adopt it? So I assume I've got the best outlook. But then this teaching gives us the reminder, sometimes my outlook stinks. And that's why I have to pray. I don't always have to say these words, but I ought to always have this attitude, not my will, but thine be done. And so we understand that why do we need the Lord's Prayer? Because we want our will done. I heard a story years ago. This preacher was found in his study. Somebody had come in and he was late for some appointment, and he was just pacing back and forth in his study. And this little understudy, so to speak, preacher boy, somebody, something like that, was sent to go find him. And he was hesitant to go in, but he did eventually go in, and that pastor just pacing back and forth. And that young ministerial student said, "Pastor, they need you." And he just sloughed him off, and he said, "Pastor, what's wrong?" And that pastor looked at him and said, "Oh, I'm just in a hurry, and God's not." How many of you ever been in a hurry when God wasn't in a hurry? And so I'm telling us, the reason God gives all of His Word is to remind us of some things. And the thing that we're reminded of is, we want our will. That's why we needed the Lord's Prayer. Not to give something to recite when you pass a certain age and certain religions. We needed it because we have a tendency to want our will. Why else? Look at verse number 11. Verse number 11 is a hard verse to pray in 2021. "Give us this day our daily bread." I don't have to ask a question in here, but nobody, I believe that everybody, most everybody in this room, you prayed over a meal today. But I don't think anybody in this room had a sincere thought come across their brain that there might not be enough food to eat in your house. If you're like us, we can live for a good while out of the pantry. Now, we might not like it all. We'd be eating brown rice and bran flakes or something, but we might not like all the combination, but we could survive a long time with just what's already there. So verse 11 is hard to pray. But I believe one of the reasons that God gave it to me and to you is to remind us that we take His provisions for granted. I don't want to take a poll, because I think if I did, everybody in here would have to side with me in the wrong position. If I ask how many of us have taken the provision of God for granted on a regular basis, I think all of us would have to be honest and say, "I have." I haven't thought, except for studying for this lesson, I haven't thought that maybe food wouldn't be plentiful at my house. We not only store food at our house, I store it at the location right here beside the interstate with the big M, the Golden Arches. I store food over there. And then I store some food over at the store with the place with the big old hot dog on the front. It's painted teal blue, that Pal's over there. I store some of our food over there. I store some of it here at Burger King, and I store some of it at La Coretta. We've got food stored all over this little burg. We've got so much. And if we're not careful, we'll forget how blessed we are. And I believe one of the reasons in 2021, you understand, the Word of God was not just written to the people that were reading it for the first time with human eyes back then, but it's also written for us today. And I believe that one of the great benefits of the Lord's Prayer, if you want to look at it that way, is because it reminds us that we take our provisions for granted. And every single one of us, we might not be prone to shouting and running laps like they do in some churches, but we ought to be doing it on the inside when we think about how good God has provided for us. So we take the provisions of God for granted. Look at verse number 12. As we hasten on, we not only take the provisions of God for granted, but verse number 12, it says, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We also get bitter toward others and fail to forgive them." How many of you think your child needed? I mean, how many of you, you either do now or you have had teenage drivers in your house? You think they needed that reminder the 147,000th time when you told them, "Be careful." Be careful out there. They didn't need that. They already knew you said it, but you're going to say it anyways. You never find a parent saying, "Listen, do what you got to do out there." They run you off, you know, they do that, they deserve it. You know, no parent ever says that. Well, they say, "Be careful." Not because they didn't know what you were already going to say. Not because they didn't know you want to be careful, but you remind them again. I believe that's one reason why, as we read the Word of God again and again, it reminds us again. And here's one part that said it, it says it in many places throughout the Scripture, and it tells us here in the Lord's Prayer, and that is, don't be bitter. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive those who sin against us. And we see that if we're not careful, we have a bitterness that dwells or swells, rather, up inside of us. Here's the thing. We can't get right for anyone else. I can't make you, if Brent Scroggs is mad at me tonight, which I don't think he is, but if he was, I can't make him get right and like me, as likable of a guy as I am. I can't make him like me. But here's the other thing. He can't make me not be right with him. He can be as mean as he wants to, but he can't make me be wrong before God and in front of him. He can do all that he wants to, and he can bring me so very, very close. So it's like this. I can't get right for anybody else, but I can be right with God no matter what anyone else does. And so we see that in verse number 12. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those. What if, and thank God he doesn't, but what if God was as good at forgiving you as you are at forgiving somebody else? Thankfully, we are not the standard. God's the standard, and he does it. So I'm not saying that. I'm just asking that for a thought-provoking situation. What if God gave us as many chances as we gave somebody else who's messed up? What if he was as long-suffering to me as I am long-suffering to my kids? Just some food for thought. But why do we need the Lord's Prayer? Because if we're not careful, we get bitter toward others. And then lastly is this, in verse 13, we see that we, if without the Lord's Prayer and teaching like it, we would ignore the devil's working. Look at verse number 13. And lead us not into temptation, but God deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power, and yours is the glory, and it's forever. Amen and amen. And so God says, lead us not to temptation. And not certainly God doesn't lead us. He doesn't tempt or is tempted by any evil. He doesn't lead us into that as far as tempting us. But it's praying. The prayer is, Lord, don't let us get down in there. Don't let us go in that direction. Lord, keep us out of there. Deliver us from evil. That's very realistically when it says it like this, the evil one. Lord, deliver us from that evil one. And so the Lord's Prayer, the disciples' prayer, the model prayer, whatever you want to call it, it reminds us of something that we're prone to forget and ignore. And that there's a real live walking, talking devil, and he is after those that are working for the Lord. Some preacher put it like this: there is a real live walking, talking devil, and he's never more effective as when he makes you think he doesn't exist. If you go bebopping through and you just think, well, nobody's after me, nothing's going to happen to me, I'm just going to be fine all day, and you don't watch for the wicked one, then, or maybe even you scoff at those people that say there's evil forces at work, then he's got you right where he wants you. My friend, listen, there's a reason why out of nowhere dissension came in your marriage. What is marriage a picture of? The Bible says a picture of Christ and the church. There's a reason why there was just animosity between you and your spouse. Devil gets in that thing. There's a reason why when you try to stand up and do something's right, you say, no, I got to get off on time tonight because it's church night. There's a reason why 13 things came across your desk right at the last minute. You think the devil's not having a heyday in our lives? He is, and the Lord's Prayer reminds us that he is alive and well, and that we are supposed to pray, Lord, keep us from that temptation. Help us. So why we need the Lord's Prayer? Here's six or seven things that I believe would be a blessing, and I hope that they are to you tonight. And I pray that we'll be reminded. We started off with being hypocritical and liking a show. And we end up with, Lord, remind us there's a real live walking, talking devil that's trying to put his bid in for my children, trying to put his bid in for my marriage, trying to put his bid in for my testimony, trying to put his bid in for my reputation at work. And then, Lord, I'm supposed to remind myself and remind myself to come to you often. Deliver us from evil, dear Lord. Deliver us from the evil one. If, folks, you didn't get anything out of tonight, you ought to go home and make sure you vow to pray to God, Lord, help me, help my children, help my wife, help my husband, help those folks that I love and me to walk in this world and deliver us from the evil one. Father, bless us now is our prayer. And, folks, here's the invitation. It's hard to give most every one of you in this room, I know. If you're here and you're troubled about something, would you give it to Jesus? If you're here and you're not saved, maybe I know you well, but I still don't know your salvation situation, you're here and you need to be saved, then certainly come to this altar and let me take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. We're going to have that business meeting, but I'd much rather talk to somebody about Jesus and let the rest of them have the business meeting. Whatever your need is, as we just take these few moments right here tonight, I trust that you do business with the Lord. Would you stand together with me as the ladies play? If God's spoken to your heart tonight, I invite you to come. Lord, thank you for this time to gather into your house, dear Lord. Thank you for the teaching of the Word of God. Thank you for, Lord, just a little time to look into it. And Lord, I pray that you'd help the people forgive. I know it's nothing flashy tonight. It's not, Lord, bombastic, but it certainly is something to put meat on the bones as we grow and try to be more like you, dear Lord. Bless it to our hearts. Well, thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. If you're staying for a business meeting, it's 5 till 10. Well, it's a long service. It's 5 till, and we'll be done probably about 10 minutes. And the men are coming forward with